If you have your Bibles, and I encourage you to bring a Bible, or I know you sometimes use your electronic devices for Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43:18, the King James says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for your word. We're thankful for this opportunity and this time to come together. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is really the great teacher here to reveal and open up the truth of your word to each and every one of us. We thank you for the power of your word to renew our mind, to bring salvation to our soul. We thank you that we can be born again by the Spirit of God, but also we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, as the Word comes forth and changes our beliefs, because we know our beliefs govern everything that we think, say, and do. So we thank you that as we look into the Word tonight, there's going to be things that each and every one of us will need to see and to hear, to know and to understand, and to have opened up to us so that we can be doers of what we see. We thank you, Father. We're not just hearers only, but you equip us and empower us to be doers as well. We give you all the glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
Amen.
You know, back beginning of the month of July, I did a message called a couple different messages, but a new church, a new journey, a new vision, really as all the things I talked about. And in that particular message, we specifically opened up with Genesis chapter 12 and talked about Abraham, or Abram at that time, where God instructed him to go forth and leave where he was, and that he would show him a new place that would be to his advantage, is the translation we looked at, and go to that land that he would guide us to and show us, and that he would bless us. You know, I was applying it to the journey that we're on as a church, because we only have a few more weeks here, and I'm saying that by faith. A few could be, I don't know, 6, 8, 10, 12. I don't know what a few is. My wife and I always argue about what a few is. You know, I grew up as a couple, was a 2, and a few, because it started with F, was 4 or 5. And then I was told, no, few was a lot more than that. So I'm okay with using few now. Is that all right? So that I don't know where that falls in your vocabulary or your definition, but when we get there, you'll know it, won't you? And when we get there, we'll announce it long before that. But all of it has to do with the fact that we're in this journey together, folks. And it's been an interesting journey. And every week for me is an interesting journey. In fact, I'm meeting with some of the leadership tonight afterwards to talk about some of the properties we've looked at. And got another call again today about some of the situations. So things are coming together. Things are moving forward. And we'll have answers for you. Because I know a lot of you are like, well, we want the answers now. Well, so do I.
Really?
Really? I want them more than you do. Stop calling me. No. as this says, I will bless you. And he says, he talked about it being distinguished. He says, and while he's blessing us, he says, as you venture forth on this new journey. I like that, because really what we're talking about is these plans to go forth on this new journey. Because really we're walking out Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, where he says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. See, we're in good company. We're going out. Right now I don't know where we're going. But when we have specific instructions, we will know, and we will make sure that we pass that on. But he also says in the Message translation, by an act of faith, Abraham traveled to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going. You know, that's what happens when you do as a pioneer. You go out and you pioneer something. Those pioneers, they just got in their wagons and they said, we're going west. Ha ha, westward ho. And then they'd come to the Mississippi River and go, How are we going to get across that? Well, this looks good enough. We'll just stay right here. No, we're going across the river, folks. Thank God they built a bridge, and we're going across the river. As I've said before, I almost brought a map tonight because I wanted to give you some vision again that I've been praying about it for a long time, and I've been driving around certain parts of the city, and I'm always drawn to Mendota Heights. And I've been saying this for about a month now, that if you just took the map and you could just take Highway 110 on the north and 494 on the south, 35E on the east, and Highway 13 on the west, that little square is what God keeps pointing out to me. And every time I drive somewhere else, it's like, nah, this isn't it. The realtor's shown me properties in Eagan, and he's shown me properties in a couple different places. And I go in there. In fact, a couple of them the other day he was supposed to take me to, and after I saw the first one, I said, the other one, I can't even go there. I said, it's just not, it's outside the zip code, okay? I just had to be honest with him. And so he said, I know. So I'm glad he's finally understanding that I kind of am not the normal customer. Is that what realtors call it? I'm not a customer, I'm a client. I'm not sure what you have adjectives for people like me, but it's probably not a pleasant for. But
standard.
So yeah, I am a guy who's bothering my realtor. So anyways, this commercial realtor that we're working with, he's been very helpful and working hard for us, and I'm working him hard. I don't know how he's going to make any money off of us, but I keep bringing him back to this square, and so I just said that's where it is. I know where we're going, but I don't know where we're going. Is that all right? But I know when we get there, I'll know. That's how it is. And so that pioneer attitude of pioneering a new church, and that's really what God keeps saying to me. He says, I want you to do a new thing. I want you to start new. I want you to start fresh, as if you're pioneering a brand new work. And I know that some of you are very attached to the idea of Established Heart Community Church and Established Heart, and so am I. I will always have Established Heart Ministries as part of who we are. That's actually probably will always be our umbrella. I'm not going to go out and go through all the rigmarole to get another 501c3 for a new church. I'm not going to do that. We'll just do a DBA underneath our current ministry. Whatever name we come up with, we'll come up with a new name, a new identification, new branding, all that kind of stuff. And we'll do it with the idea that God is going to launch something fresh and new. Mm-hmm. You know, every one of us, it's probably a good thing every now and then to get a fresh start. You know, we usually do this at the beginning of the year. We give you that, you know, New Year's Eve resolution. Isn't it great to have a fresh start? It's a new year, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, every day, aren't you glad you can get up and say, oh, glory to God, yesterday's over. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had those kind of days?
Yeah.
And then you get up in the morning and think, I don't want to have today like yesterday. You know, we've had some days like that. But every morning you get up and say, you know what? Today is a new day. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things. Everyone say all things.
All things.
All things. So whatever it is you're dealing with in life, I don't care how bad it's been, how difficult it's been, how challenging it's been, how ugly it's been. Do you know that all things can be, in a sense, in your attitude and the way you look at it, passed away? Mm-hmm. You just let, you know, I'm not going to let it dictate who I am today. Today I'm a child of God. Today I'm a new creation in Christ. Today God is saying, go. And so we're moving forward. We looked at 2 Corinthians 3:11 back a few weeks ago. And I want to just refresh you with it again. He says, talking about the old, which has been replaced, was glorious. He says, if the old, he's talking about an old covenant here as a principle. If the old thing that was replaced was glorious, how much more glorious will the new one be, which would remain? So, as glorious as you think of wherever we've been and what we've done and what we've had for 30 years, how much more glorious is it when God says, let's start all over and do something brand new and fresh? Let's trust God that He has a plan that's going to be glorious. More glorious than whatever glory we might have had. He says, I want you to look at that. And in Matthew 9:16, it says this, no one puts a new piece of cloth on an old garment. For if they do, the new patch will rip and damage the old, making the tear worse and ruining the original garment. So that's why we've been talking for the last few weeks about the principle of rebooting the church. And this, in other words, rename it, re-identification, re-everything. Does that help? Fresh. That's the scripture that the Lord's been impressing on me. Somebody just asked me again yesterday, why are you changing the name and why are you doing all that? Why don't you just keep everything? And I, you know, it would be easy. It would be convenient. Would sure, help on, printing new checks and things like that. But I just believe that's the right thing to do. I believe God's telling us to have a fresh start. I believe He's saying pioneer a new work. Go with it as if you're pioneering a new work. Now, I'm just going to be as blunt and honest as I can, as I have been the last few weeks about this. I have more zeal and vision coming to me almost every day now than I've had in a long time. You know, we were in maintenance mode for a long time. You don't get a lot of vision as a pastor and as a leader when you're in maintenance mode. It's mostly attending to things and keeping things going. Does that make sense? But when you start venturing into someplace new, someplace you've never been before, in a sense, we've been there before as far as function. We've done this before. Pastor Miranda, we've helped start churches before. So, hey, this is not new ground as far as what needs to be done. It'll be just new ground as where it's going to be done, who's going to go with us, how we're going to get it done, the impact of a community where we're going, where there really isn't any church like ours there. And again, that's why I'm drawn to that area. I want to go into an area, as the Lord directs us, not to build on another man's foundation. There's nobody else there doing what I believe God is calling us to do. And I really appreciate a lot of the input we got last week. We had some really good discussion at the end of the service last week. And some of the things that I've been praying about since that time, some of the things that were brought up, fit right in with some of the direction that we're going to be talking about. I'm way off my notes already, so I might as well just forget it. So, one of the things that we were talking about, because a lot of where we're looking is in a business community, one of the things that last Tuesday at my pastor's prayer group, I was praying with a bunch of pastors, and they've been praying for us as a church and for our direction. And so they were asking me some questions, and I found myself talking out of the abundance of my heart about some things. And one of the things I said is, and I almost had to listen to myself. I was like, I stepped back and watched myself say this. I was looking. It was one of those duh moments. And I heard myself say, well, yeah, we've been praying for revival in the workplace for a long time. That's been one of the words that God gave us. Yes. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And where is it that God has been directing us to go and open up a new church? Right in the middle of a bunch of office centers. And one of the things that we kept hearing last week was, let's do something like a lunchtime prayer thing, or a lunchtime, have soup and salad and scripture, that we offer for people and these all these, because where we were looking, there's people walking around all the time in their lunch hours, and there's other people, they're stuck there. And I'll tell up on myself, for a long time I was fighting with the idea of getting into a place where we're there 24/7, because I just was really struggling with having a building where we're only in at 90%, not using it 90% of the time. We're only using it 10%. The rest of the time the building sits empty. What it costs per square foot to rent office space in the Twin Cities, it's a hot market. I'm really running into problems with every landlord we talk to. We're walking by faith, not by sight, folks. We're believing God for every opportunity and favor with every one of these people. And so as we look at this and see what is it that God, we're not going to be a traditional Sunday morning denominational church, we haven't ever really been that. And that's all right. I'm not trying to compete with the 10,000 other churches in the Twin Cities. We're going to be very unique, always have been. But I'm going to even be more so when we get into this new place. Because, yes, we'll have Sunday morning service. Yes, we'll have 242 groups during the midweek around the city. Yes, we'll have corporate prayer. One of the other things that the Lord said to me the other day with these pastors, when I said that to them, I started explaining this vision about reaching people, prayer, morning, noon, and night. And all of a sudden, I heard myself say that again. And we were focused on that a number of years ago as a church. And so it's like, okay, well, you know what? If we had a building or in a place like that, I don't care if maybe five Christians out of the, probably a few thousand that work in these office buildings that are going to be around us wherever we end up. Because all the places we're looking at, there's a lot of offices. And so we're right in the middle of a lot of this place, these offices and so forth. Those are the kind of things that, you know what? They have a lunch break. There's Christians there. They might want to have some place to go pray.
Amen.
They might want to have some place to go have a Bible study. I may be there for once a week to have a Mars Hill open roundtable discussion. Whosoever will, let him come. You know, I've just been praying about all that, and let's just see where it goes. But I'm going to keep casting vision. Like you need to understand where we're going with this, because God's opening up, I think, a lot of new opportunities for us. This is not going to be a traditional, normal church as usual. It's going to be opportunities for ministry, and some of it I'm not going to be able to be there all the time. So I'm counting on some of you to say, "Well, I'll take that lunch hour. Good, thank you," because you can show up maybe and join me. Maybe we'll have a prayer thing in one morning a week, one night a week. So at least once a week, morning, noon, and night. One day at least for each one of those. So those are the kind of things that God's really been speaking and stirring up in me and saying, this is, I mean, you don't want to put a new piece of cloth, a new vision on top of an old vision. So we're not taking everything that we had as a vision here. Because this was a very specific thing when God gave me a vision to start in St. Paul and start in Highland Park and do what we did here. And we've accomplished, and I feel that season is done. And we're moving to a new season. A new season. So when we do that, all the scriptures that I was sharing back almost a month ago, Ephesians 4:22, put off the old, put on the new. Colossians 3, you have finished with the old life. Now you've begun a new life. 2 Corinthians 5, everyone knows this one. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In each one of these things, there is a transition. Now, I use the illustration. I'm going to use it again because I think it works. You know, back earlier this year, my computer, my PC crashed. And I just had a series of bad Both Mary and I have had some bad experiences with PCs lately. And I said, I'm done. I'm just fed up. I'm done. I'm going back to Apple. I'm going back and I'm getting a Mac. And so we went out and bought a couple of Macs. And the only problem with that is, you know, Mac can adapt to PC, but not all the PC stuff adapts to Mac. And so you have to learn new things. And you know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, call me Trixie, because I learned some new tricks. I'm learning new stuff on my Mac all the time. I was like, oh, you could do that, huh? Yeah, well, I couldn't do that before. And there's some things that I got used to on my PC that, oh, I can't do that anymore. That's different. Why is that different? It's not that it's different. It's just that it's different and you have to do it differently. But it still can get done. I just didn't know how to do it because I was still trying to do it on PC and not Mac. And some of you are laughing at me. I know. But I'm learning. Glory to God. But the transition has been a challenge. So is this transition going to be smooth and easy? Probably not. We're going to probably have to learn a few things. Probably going to have to implement a few things differently by being in a new location, different location. But overall, when we look at transferring data from one place to another, I want to make sure we don't lose any data. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because one of the things that happened to me when I transferred data is all my iTunes never showed up. Well, then we did it again and they showed up, but they were all scrambled and half of them showed up and the other half, I think, fell in the black hole somewhere. So the PC ate them. I don't know what happened to them. So right now in my office, I had to reset up my old PC stuff, and hopefully it doesn't crash on me while I'm doing this. But I'm searching, and I open up my Mac, and I say, okay, this file's open, yep. And then I go in there and say, okay, this came over, yep, this came over. It's like all of you. You come over with us, right? I'm transferring data. I'm trusting that all of you are coming with us.
Amen.
I don't want to lose half of you in the transition somewhere and have you fall in the black hole on the Mendota Bridge. All right? Because that's where we're transferring over. We're going across the Mendota Bridge. That's a long way. It's 5 minutes, folks. It's five more minutes. And actually, it's five less minutes for me. About 2 minutes for Josh and Neil, and I think they live right down the street from wherever we're looking. So it's going to be close, all right, closer for some. For you people, you know, coming from Woodbury, you just come straight down 494, boom. Yeah, it's not that much farther. So I don't want to lose any data. Is that all right? You follow my illustration? Because I want you to be able to transfer over to the new location, to my new hard drive. All right, so I can access you, and you can access us, and everything will work fine. Enough computer lingo? Good. So last week, I talked about the purpose of the church. Specifically, we talked about Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 going to the seven churches and appearing to them and speaking specifically to the local church. Because I'm really concerned about this constant, just almost like a drip, drip, drip that I'm hearing over the last few years. People who are saying, well, you know, we don't need the local church. We're the church universal. I can get fed by watching, you know, Brother So-and-so on the TV, and I can watch them online, and, you know, I get these podcasts and all that. That's great, but that doesn't fulfill the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church locally is fellowship. That's one of the primary things, and community. Again, Acts 2:42, the reason our 2:42 groups exist. They continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and the two in the center are fellowship and community, and then prayer. Now, yeah, you can call up somebody's prayer line, and you can get online and get their doctrine, but you can't fellowship over the phone like that.
That's right.
Well, you can talk to them, yeah, but that's not true fellowship. You can't sit down and have a cup of coffee with them and really look them face to face and spend time with them on a regular basis. And you certainly can't develop a sense of community with that. All right? That comes by being with people, family. A church is a family. And I shared the other night, a week ago, that it was 2014, I believe I said, when I did that whole series about the local church and the church is the family, the body of Christ, the family of Christ. All those scriptures went like 4 or 5 weeks on it. So all of these churches, one of the things that we're praying about and specifically focusing on, as I mentioned last week, is of those seven churches, Jesus walked in those seven local churches. So the people say, well, I don't need a local church. Well, Jesus needed it. So who are you? You better than Jesus? I think you better go talk to the head of the church then, because I think he's going to have an issue with you. Because he equipped the church, he declared the church, he birthed the church for a purpose. And to say that you don't need what Jesus died for, I think you might have issues with Jesus on that one. So get in a place where Jesus is walking, Jesus is showing up, Jesus is revealing himself, Jesus is showing and teaching what we need, equipping us as saints. And as he said, of each of those seven churches, he cared so much about them, so he commended or he reproved. Now, some he did both, some he only reproved, some he only commended. And we went through that last week. You can listen to the message. But of those seven churches, there are identification points that I gave, and we went through each one. You know, a lot of them he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, your endurance, you refuse to tolerate evil men, poverty, suffering, distress, tribulation. I'm summarizing all these seven churches. Be watchful, you've been strengthened, you have an open door, but you don't have much power or strength to open it or keep it open, but don't worry, I'll keep it open. You've kept my word, you've obeyed, you've not denied me. I mean, just so many. But then he started going, but you left your first love. And you've allowed false teaching. You've allowed people to be led into idolatry or immorality. You've let that false prophetess, that old Jezebel, seduce my people into sexual immorality. We got some denominations that are totally, as if you get into the spirituality of it, that some would say, well, that Jezebel spirit has now taken over that denomination. I don't get into that kind of name stuff, but some people do. Other things, he says, you're ignorant, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, and you don't even know it. Well, I don't want to be defined as one of those churches that get reproved. So we've looked at those different aspects and said, we are going to focus and do everything to say, okay, how do we live those things that Jesus commended? And how do we avoid ever making sure we're not one of those doing those things that Jesus reproved? So I've got a list here. Okay. I'm going to keep focusing on it, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. Not that one. Yes, this one. So as we launch this new church, as we pioneer this new church, as we focus on something new, we already have, I think, a very clear mandate of some things to do. So going back to my main scripture again, in Isaiah 43, he says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So when he's prophesying there and speaking of those things, I think it's important to realize that there may be an area that's called the wilderness. You know, there's a lot of people that if you get into their business or into their office space or into their area, their Christianity stops at the door. You know, I worked in retail for years before I answered the call of God in my life. And one of the greatest challenges I had is when the charismatic movement hit and all these people started getting saved and revival kind of swept through some of our stores. It was really challenging because all of a sudden a lot of these people that I knew well and I worked with and were employees that I was managers over, they were working for me and so forth. I had to do their evaluations and their, you know, to really say how they were doing as an employee, which determined whether or not they stayed or got a raise. And then they'd get saved. And all of a sudden it's like they stopped working. Their testimony just went, most of them, down the tube. And so here I am as the agnostic looking at it and said, well, look, you Christians, what's the matter with you? You know, you're supposed to be the best employees there are, supposedly. You should not be the worst employees and the least conscientious employees. And unfortunately, one of them that was the ringleader of a lot of this, you know, she got gloriously saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And so she would stand there and straighten ties and fold shirts, pray in tongues out loud in the middle of the store, and ignore customers. And I'm going, I'm not paying you to babble. Now again, this is my agnostic days. I was not happy. And so I see where we're going, where there's a bunch of work people, office people, as a mission field. Lift up your eyes. John chapter 4, Jesus talked about, I mean, we're going into Samaria, folks. We're going to be in there where people are going to be white unto harvest. I really believe that. And there's a lot of people who are going to have struggling days at the office, and they're going to need some place to go besides the bar as soon as they're done with work. Because, I mean, that's where I used to go as soon as I was done with a 12-hour day. So, yeah, we gotta go home. We gotta have a drink before we go home. Why? I gotta unwind before I get home. Well, hopefully I got some place better for them to unwind.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And maybe they can do it during their break. Maybe they can do it during their lunch. If we have an open door policy where someone can come and do something like that and have people there that would be willing to pray with them and have somebody sit there and have a Bible study once a week or a couple times a week, I don't know yet how it's all going to come. We're going to, as we see this thing grow and develop, who knows what it's going to turn into. I really don't know. But it's going to be a lot different than church as usual. It's not going to be the wineskin we currently have, if I can put it that way. Is this all making sense?
Yes.
So when we start looking at these scriptures, again, I'm going to remind you about the message I did about Romans 15:4. And he says, "Personally, I've been completely satisfied with who you are and what you're doing. You seem to me to be well-motivated and well-instructed and quite capable of guiding and advising one another. So, my dear friends, don't take my rather bold and blunt language as criticism. It's not criticism. I'm simply underlining how very much I need your help in carrying out this highly focused assignment God gave me." Paul said that to the church in Rome. And you're probably tired of me quoting this verse, and I've been quoting it a lot over the years, because God's given me a very highly focused assignment to a certain degree. And God says, you can't do this by yourself. He says, I'm going to equip people, and I'm going to call people alongside you to help you do it. And I believe if you're here, one of the reasons you might be here is ask God, am I supposed to be part of this? And you know what? I believe and I trust that God will speak to you very clearly that how you can fit in, how you can hook up, say how you can be a supplying joint and not a dislocated joint. And that's what God is, I believe, starting to do. He says in Corinthians, he's going to start developing a new body. He says, and what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever else you are planting. Then God gives it the new body that he wants it to have. God will give us, our church, our body is going to look the way he wants it to look. Not necessarily the way it used to look, not the way other churches look, not the way we think we would like it to look per se. I'm just excited about the fact that Jesus is in the midst of this church, walking in the midst of this church, giving us very specific instructions for a very specific assignment and how we're going to do that. And just, all I'm asking you is if you don't understand it, just pray in tongues. just be in agreement that I'm going to have the wisdom to walk it out. You're going to have the wisdom to help us walk it out. So I don't know how to get involved. Well, you can support us. First of all, just be faithful to tithe. Be faithful to show up. Be faithful to, you know, as we were, why did we do the In Search of Timothy series at 242? Because all through that I kept saying it's going to require all hands on deck when we get there. That's why. We're going to be looking for as many Timothys and Timothyettes as we can find. Amen? And so out of that, this new direction as we look around and as Romans 4:17 says, when God's talking to Abraham and says, you're the father of many nations, he says, this happened because Abraham believed in God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. I like that last part. He can create new things out of absolutely nothing. Well, he said, well, I don't know. There's not much going on here anymore. Well, good. We're at nothing then. And he can create good new things out of that then, if that's what you're thinking. Again, you know, if you look over the last 2 years, it's been almost 2 years since we sold the building, and I know some of you have talked to me, and well, a number of you have talked to me over the years, the last couple of years, and I know some of you have been discouraged and demoralized and whatever other words that I've heard from some of you. You know, I can't take those words to heart. I can't be discouraged. I can't be disappointed. Just look at the numbers, where we are now compared to where we used to be a couple of years ago. It's different, you know. But you know what? I can't stop people from not seeing what I see. I can only share the vision and hopefully people catch it and be patient and willing enough to sacrifice and hook up and stay with us. And if they can't, I understand that too. If God says to go someplace else, then they need to do that. But as we've said before, don't get lead poisoning. Don't be just led to leave. You know, if God's leading you someplace else for a reason, wonderful. I'll get all behind it and bless you and send you off. But don't get lead poisoning because the devil will poison anybody, and that's what I call lead poisoning. You get led to go someplace, but they don't know where they're going. Well, that's, it's all of a sudden the husband doesn't wake up one day and say, I'm led to leave my wife and kids. Or the kids wake up one day and say, the five-year-old says, I'm led to leave mom and dad today. And they pack their little lunch and walk out the house. They make it about two blocks, you know, all of a sudden they realize, well, who's going to feed me? Who's going to take me? Who's going to tuck me in at night? Huh? Brother, do that on the radio is going to. That's what. Because that's what it's like. You know, the church is a bunch of children. You know, they're God's kids. And they take their little knapsack and they decide they're going to run away from, you know, home where God planted them. How many of you remember Fit, Function, and Flourish from Psalm 92? You know, it says you find a place to fit and you find a place to function, then you'll flourish. See, some Christians are very frustrated. They're not flourishing. And when we teach in other churches and I work with other ministers and pastors, I always teach fit, function, and flourish principle because they say, well, these people just, they're not producing fruit and they're not flourishing. I said, well, you know what? Let's back up. Psalm 92 says God plants them where they ought to be. Where God plants them. That's fitting in and finding out how to function in each particular place where they fit. When they fit and they function, God says, I'll make sure they flourish. If they're not flourishing, I'll come back and say, are we making sure they have fit? and they're functioning. Sometimes they've even fit, but they're not functioning in the right place. Or they got an attitude about functioning. So we may need to, I'm obedient. Yeah, but are you willing? Boy, you got quiet in here. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the what?
The good of the land.
That's flourishing. So, okay, well, all right, Pastor, well, we'll do that. No, see, that was the wrong tone of voice. If you're willing and obedient, you're saying, all right, Pastor, what's next? Let's do it. See, there's a willingness and an obedience, and as a church, we will what? Flourish. We'll prosper. But we have to have both attitudes, willingness and obedience, an attitude of willingness and an action of obedience. And when we do that together, because there's going to be a time when I'm going to come and show up here on a Saturday and say, all right, folks, I signed a lease today. We got to paint walls next week. 2 weeks after that, we got to build a stage. 2 weeks after that, we got to go. We're laying cables. 2 weeks after that, we're moving in. So let's go. And you're going, well, I got to go plow some fields, and I got some cattle to take care of, and I got some flowers to plant. Oh yeah, I've heard that excuse in the New Testament, huh? Boy, it's really getting quiet in here. Okay, I'll move on. So, when we look around and we see that God's doing a new thing, as it says here, a new thing, He creates new things out of nothing. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Have you not seen it? I love what he says there in Isaiah 42, and he starts prophesying. Behold, the former things have come to pass, but also he says, there's new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I'm telling you them. So in a sense, that's how I feel. I'm functioning in Isaiah 42:9 right now. God has started to show us some of the new things. We're starting to declare some of those new things. We're starting to see how He is going to bring them to pass. And as it says, this is the Amplified Version. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. New things I now declare. So God's declaring some new things for us. And every day we have to be listening and paying attention to what those new things are. And be willing and obedient to say, yes, sir, okay, I got it. And then he says, before they spring forth, I tell you about them. So he's going to start telling us about and give us insight and a little glimpse of what it's going to look like. And every day that's starting to what's happened about some of the things that we see God starting to put together. And so again, pray about it. Pray how we can fit and function and flourish together. Isaiah 48:6 says this, you have heard it, observe it all. Will you not acknowledge it? From now on, I will announce new things to you, hidden things that you have not known. He says, I'm starting to announce these things. So again, all I can encourage you to do is, you say, well, what's going on? Be here on Saturday night and you'll find out. Because every weekend, I'm going to give you an update. I'm going to share a little bit more of what these new things He wants us to announce. He wants us to declare. He wants us to reveal. And so as we speak those things, without a vision, the people what? Perish. So there's something about speaking that vision. And as I shared back a few weeks ago when Jane Hillman was with us, she taught us, speak for the vision until the vision finally speaks for itself. And the vision will speak for itself when we know the location, when we're in there, we have our first service, and we're celebrating. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to that day. So Isaiah 65 says this, pay close attention now. I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. All the earlier troubles, chaos, and pain are things of the past to be forgotten.
Glory.
Look ahead with joy. Anticipate what I'm creating. You know, when I was meditating on this week, I realized God is creating a new thing. That's actually what He's doing here. He's actually creating a new thing. And all I'm asking you is to pray and be a part of it. Hook up and be a part of it. And expect God to show you some exciting things about it. And just be ready. Because there's some neat stuff coming. You know, I know some of you like to pray, and some of you like to confess the word, and some of you like to be in agreement. So I did make up this thing for just a few of you. I'm sure not everyone's going to want one of these. But I when I study something out and I meditate on something, when God gives me a scripture like that, what I do is I'll take the main scripture, Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Well, what do we have? Rivers of water flowing out of us. That's the word. People are out there in the desert, dry, dying of thirst and parched. And he's going to make a way in the wilderness. We're going to be like a fresh stream of water to a lot of people. And so then I start looking up all different kinds of translations that say just a little different, that helps me see it a little bit different, maybe in the original language, helps me see it a little different when I start to meditate on it. So that's what I did as I was doing this past week, and I put a bunch of different scriptures on it. And then what I do out of that, I take all of them, the best parts of all of them, the things that really speak to me, and then I make up a confession. And so then this is what I pray, and this is what I confess. And I've prayed and I confess this every morning the last few days since I made this up. And so I'm just going to declare it to you so that you hear this as the scripture says. He says, I'm declaring you, I'm announcing new things, I'm declaring new things, I'm laying out new things, anticipate what I'm creating. Words are what? Creative. The tongue is a creative force. So without that creative force speaking the word over these things, what God wants to create doesn't get done. Everything God created, he created by the power of his own word. So when we start to speak the word, in a sense, we are creating the avenue or the streams or the rivers or the way, the road, the path to where God wants us to go. So that's why you confess or declare or meditate upon these things. So I'm just going to read this to you. And he says, Father, this is what I made up out of it. This is just how I do these things. Father, I trust and believe what your word declares. And I will not dwell on or ponder the past, recounting the victories of days gone by, or keep going over old history. Neither will I remember or call to mind the former things that happened before. I know it's nothing compared to what you're about to do. Instead, I will behold and watch closely the new thing you are doing, and I perceive that it is already happening. In fact, I will take heed and recognize you are creating something brand new that will spring forth now. We will be like a road in the wilderness and a pathway for those in the desert. I am very aware that you are making a way where there was no way. Water will flow where there had been none, and you will make us to be like a stream for those who are thirsty. By faith I see it and declare, there it is, it's bursting out.
Hallelujah.
That's exactly word for word. Every one of those is from a different translation. And all I did was take them all and I put them together. And that's how I meditate. That's how I pray. That's how I declare those things. Because the word is a creative force. And if you don't do that, sitting back and being passive doesn't work. This is how you become a doer of the word. You take it and you start to speak it out. You start to act on it. If all you can do is pray it, then that's something. Because, you know, sometimes, I'm one of those guys, I like to organize and analyze and then get it all put together. I'm a hands-on kind of guy. I'm going to get it done. And I'm going to put it all in a box and label it. That's just me. But right now, I don't have anything to put in the box. But I got a labeler. It's called my tongue. It's called my vision. I can start labeling it, glory to God. I can be printing labels all day long, waiting for the boxes to come. Waiting for what I'm going to put in the box and how the box is going to look and where the box is going. Glory to God, I'm printing labels. That's how I see myself doing it right now. Because otherwise, I could get frustrated. Because I'm more of a, show me the building and let's get the paint going. Let's get set up and let's get it wired. And so, you know, Jerry's not having to drag in an amplifier. It can be set up and left there. Hallelujah. So I do have a number of these for those of you who are interested. So when we close, which is going to be in 1 minute, you can come up and get this. Actually, the minute's over. I'm going to quit right there before I go any further, because otherwise I'll probably go more than a minute. So any questions, comments, 2 cents worth?